So I know I said that I'd be dropping a video this week, but that didn't happen for various reasons. So we're going to aim for next week. But I want the video to be quality and to enhance the way the information is consumed and not just to be a video for the sake of video. So I felt like I couldn't produce that. So like I said, we'll aim for next week. That being said, we still have a lot to get into with this show as we take on part one of subtitle F covering over-the-counter drugs and their review. The world, however, is continuing to move through the pandemic and upcoming elections returned to prevalence as Joe Biden selected Kamala Harris as his running mate. Let's go ahead and get into it, though. Subtitle F.
This is Lessons from the screen. John Boy.
Welcome to Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any particular information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our brain power so that you don't have to. Lessons from the Screen is still sponsored by PAX Inc., a Black activist advocacy and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through educational culture shift and economics. Check them out at www.pactsinc.org, paxinc.org. Check out the Learning Center. Become a member. Give a donation. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Do whatever you can to help them because, as I say, every show, and it's been over 115 shows, now I think we're at nearly 120, they do whatever they can to help you. So, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get right on into it. We are talking about Subtitle F Part 1 of the OTC Drug Review. So we are moving into the end of Title 3. I know we've been here for a while, but all things pass in time, unless you are stopped in time, in which case nothing is passing. Or if you're in a bad relationship, because those things seem to go on forever. But anyway, Subtitle F is on the docket, and it focuses on over-the-counter drugs, starting with Part 1, the OTC Drug Review. Pretty much all the drugs that don't require prescription, with a few exceptions, are a part of the over-the-counter drug system. So Section 3851 is a regulation of certain non-prescription drugs that are marketed with an approved drug without an approved drug application. Now, this section starts with a modification of Section 505G, which is a regulation of certain non-prescription drugs that are marketed without an approved drug application. Section 505G refers to the Dietary Supplement and Non-Prescription Drug Consumer Protection Act signed into law in December of 2006 by President Bush. One of the things that this law did was allow some non-prescription, non-approved drugs to be marketed and sold as long as there was a domestic number and an address on the bottle. Now, while the law says that this is for the reporting of adverse reactions to the drug, the law doesn't specify that the purpose of the number and address has to be put on the label. And that... That's, you know what, never mind. I'm not even, because that's off topic. That's what the law says. But this isn't a review of that law. This is a review of $2 trillion. So, moving forward. This part of this section makes it so that all non-prescription drugs marketed without approval fall under this ruling as long as they have a domestic address and number on the label. It also covers non-prescription Category 1 drugs, and it actually touches on all of the categories, Category 1, 2, and 3. But right now we're talking about Category 1 drugs and their final monograph. Now, categories of drugs are drugs that are generally recognized as, it speaks to how safe the drug is. So Category 1 drugs are generally recognized as safe and effective for the claimed therapeutic indication, and a monograph is simply a study on the drug. Now, these drugs and their monographs have a public disclosure period before they become approved drugs for those of you that care. And during the public disclosure period, there is a window that we've talked about in past shows on policy changes. And this window is where the public can make comments on the item in question, sharing concerns or praise. Those comments have to be considered in the final decision and have at times been shown to reverse the course of those decisions and the policies and questions. Category 2 and 3 drugs also have some legislative adjustments in this session. And without getting too bogged down in the details, this section allows over-the-counter drugs to be approved by the FDA without going through the full notice and commenting process. It also gives companies an 18-month exclusive license for inventing or innovating new over-the-counter drugs. Now, we talked about the exclusivity of certain drugs and the show we did on Bottle of Lies, actually it was, which was a show about the pharmaceutical industry and how the FDA works and various different things, generic drugs versus brand drugs. But if you don't want to go back and listen to this show, or you don't want to get bogged down in that, and even in this very own piece of legislation, they talk about the 18-month exclusivity period. So if you're interested in that, you should definitely go check it out. Now, the secretary is given clearance to determine whether a drug requires approval or not. The secretary is also given clearance to determine whether there will be a commenting period for over-the-counter drugs and how long that commenting period will be. Requests on information about rulings on drugs are given at the inclination of the secretary. And the section also contains information about hearings regarding over-the-counter decisions that should be read if you are interested in such things. Essentially, the only person that can ask for a hearing is somebody that has been involved in every step of the process. And the only information that can be used in the hearing is information in the administrative record that has been submitted to the secretary. And when I say the secretary throughout this section, I'm talking about the Secretary of Health and Human Services, HHS. No later than 30 calendar days after receiving notice of the final decision of the dispute resolution procedure. Now, all in all, this is one of the longest sections in this piece of legislation, and it is pretty it's a pretty substantial overhaul to OTC drugs that you should definitely thumb through if you are interested. Section 3852 covers misbranding, and this section says that drugs that don't comply with labeling requirements mentioned earlier will be classified as misbranded. And any product labeled as misbranded is subject to regulatory actions by the FDA. So we're talking about detentions, suspensions, and potentially charges if things go too far. Section 3853 covers drugs excluded from the over-the-counter drug review. And this section makes it clear that nothing in this bill will apply to drugs previously excluded by the FDA from the OTC review. Section 3854, Treatment of Sunscreen Innovation Act. This section places over-the-counter sunscreens under the provisions mentioned earlier in Section 3851. It offers the same exclusivity benefits for sunscreen ingredient manufacturers, but it also places a sunset clause on the end or an end date on the sunscreen provisions, which is October 20th, 2022. October 1st, 2022, the end of the federal fiscal year. It also lays out the process for requesting a hearing. And once again, the Secretary of HHS has a lot of power with regards to timeframes, approvals, and more. Now, Section 3855 covers an annual update to Congress on appropriate pediatric indication for certain OTC cough and cold drugs. And this section requires the Secretary of HHS within 1 year of the passage of this law to submit a report to Congress and for every year afterwards. Now, this congressional report is in regards to cold and cough drugs for children under the age of 6. And this report will continue until the Secretary determines that it is no longer necessary. I got the same complaints every show with this stuff. The amount of power that one person has to make decisions about when things end, what's approved, what's not approved, and the lack of specificity in terms of the actual processes that are going to be implemented. I understand legislation doesn't need to be so tight. A lot of those things need to be policy decisions made on the organizational level. So I get that. But I don't necessarily like the concept of the buck stops here framework that I'm seeing in place with a lot of these situations, where it does offer up the opportunity for cronyism to pop up into government spheres. So I do have a bit of a problem with that. Section 3851, which was the longest section that I covered today, does give me a little bit of grief for the simple fact that I don't like the fact that drugs are not going to be going through the full regulatory process. And I've talked about this before. I feel like when you're in the time of a pandemic, that is not the time when you should be cutting back on safety measures in order to speed the process up. That is the time when you should be stepping up. You know what I'm saying? You should be moving forward the safety regulations and actually maybe even slowing things down a bit in order to prevent the loss of lives. And I feel like that is something that, you know, continuously is not happening. I understand people want to see things happen, but the old adage, measure twice, cut once, still applies. And in this case, you're dealing with a scenario where people's lives could be, not could be, are at risk. We're well over hundreds of thousands of deaths to COVID, and this is not a situation. Some of those deaths were medically induced, experimenting with drugs that maybe if they had to slow down a bit, those deaths wouldn't have occurred. That's my opinion on it. I would rather things slow down, take a little bit longer to make sure that you get it right, than to have things speed up and cost lives. I know one way or another you're going to have people dying. I'm not that ignorant or oblivious to the situation, but if you cannot have a direct hand in causing deaths by a preventable mistake, if you would have just slowed down, that's how I feel about it. You should take that approach. So all that being said, we're going to cover part two next show on user fees, and that'll be the end of subtitle three. Title three, then we'll be on to title four, and we're on the back end of this series on HR 748. So next week it's gonna be a shorter show, because I was actually supposed to combine that show with this show, but I want to have a shorter show for when I put together the video to make sure that I have enough time to iron out all of the kinks and things of that nature. So the show next week might very well only be 5 or so minutes, but it'll have a nice little video to go along with it that should, you know, enhance the ability of the information to be consumed by the consumers and processed. So I'm hoping to have that happen. The one other thing I wanted to talk about just a little bit, we're going to get out of here. Actually, by the time this whole thing ends, this show will probably end up being actually longer than I thought. I thought this would be about a 10-minute show. We're going to push up into 15 minutes, maybe more. But anyways, one of the things I did want to talk about briefly, current event that I mentioned in the intro to the show, was Joe Biden picking Kamala Harris. I've had a lot of people ask me what I think about that. What are my thoughts about Kamala Harris being selected as Joe Biden's running mate? I've said before, and it's on record, you can go back and listen to other shows that I've talked about, Joe Biden had to pick a female running mate. He had to. No choice. And he needed to pick a black woman. He didn't have to. He needed to. Now, when Amy Klobuchar pulled her name out of the running for VP, I knew at that moment that he was going to pick a black woman, because of the precedent that she set by pulling out. Any white woman that took the narrative, that accepted the nomination after she pulled out, was going to get blasted. They were just going to get utterly destroyed. So he had to pick a black woman. There were only two black women available on a national scale that he could pick, in my opinion. I know a lot of people were talking about Susan Rice. I don't think Susan Rice was ever a serious candidate, in my mind anyway. She was never a serious candidate. He had Kamala Harris and he had Stacey Abrams. And Kamala Harris has a larger following, a larger fan base, because she was one of the Democratic presidential candidates, and Stacey Abrams had a very national, very public race for the governorship of Georgia, which she ended up losing. We're not even gonna get into that, but Kamala Harris had the advantage of having a larger platform, of having already let people know what she stood for. She's already answered some of the difficult questions that would have come up if she had come out of nowhere because she was a former presidential candidate. And her views have already been espoused. So she was a safe pick. And beyond that, she's also Jamaican and Indian heritage. And when I say Indian, I don't mean Native American. I mean India as in the India over in Asia. So that makes her a minority candidate that can appeal to Asians if they spin it, Indians, who are a very large and growing portion of the American populace, Caribbeaners and Jamaicans and black people and women. Whereas with Stacey Abrams, you just get black and women. So in all corners, in all avenues, it was advantageous for him to pick Kamala Harris over Stacey Abrams, with the exception of Kamala Harris's history as a district attorney in California, which was not very good for her in terms of black support. And I do think Joe Biden might have lost some support among some black people for that pick. I think Stacey Abrams would have been a safer pick, although I think he still gains more than he loses. But her track record as a DA in California is something that is not very endearing in terms of how black people are going to feel about her. And the other thing that she brings negative to the table for him is, and I know a lot of people aren't going to understand this, but trust me, I'm speaking facts here. The fact that she's married to a non-colored person, the fact that she is married to a white man, is not going to do her any favors amongst the larger portion of the black community. Now, I know black people will play nice, will say nice, will do nice, but when we're left to our own devices, we do pay attention to things like that. Like, who are you married to? You know, and it's going to become a issue for Kamala Harris because of her track record. If her track record was not what it was in terms of her friendliness to the black community, nobody would probably say anything or care too much. But because her track record is what it is, because she has done some of the things that she has done that have had huge negative impacts on the black community, people are going to use the fact that she has a white husband as a strike against her in the black community. I don't know what they're going to do in the other communities, in the Asian community, in the Indian community. I don't know what's going to happen there. But in terms of what's going to happen in the black community, it's going to be another strike against her. So, but at the end of the day, I think in terms of Joe Biden's presidency, it was really the only move he had. He didn't have a lot of options. It was the only thing he could do. And I've said that before, so I'm not surprised by it at all. I think it was totally expected. That being said, there's been a lot of conversations about whether it's worth it to have a Joe Biden, Kamala Harris presidency being better. Would that be better for the black community than another 4 years of Trump? Personally, I don't see where that's a discussion at all. Of course, it would be better. I know Joe Biden wrote the 94 crime bill, and Kamala Harris has her issues as district attorney, and when you pair them together, they look like a law enforcement nightmare for black people. I don't think it's going to be nearly as bad as another 4 years of Trump. And it's always hard to see how bad things are when you're in the middle of it, but these 4 years of Trump that we've had have not been kind to black people at all. We have experienced an uptick in a lot of things, including media coverage. But I know a lot of people like the guys, the problems that we're having as the media is just covering it more now, which is true. But it's also true that there has been an uptick in race-related incidents since Obama became president. And that uptick jumped a bit when Trump became president. So things are getting worse under Trump. We just don't, we aren't paying that much attention to it. And those of us that study history are so numb to it and so familiar with it that we don't necessarily acknowledge what's happening right now as being anything different than the status quo, which technically is not. But the frequency of it is a jump from where we were prior to. So, and I, you know, we could have a whole show going into all of the negatives of Trump being president. I've been covering the legislation that's been passed and things of that nature. And I got to tell you, especially if you've been listening to the show, following the show, you know that the vast majority of things passing is not even race neutral in terms of its impact on the black community. It's negative. And that's regardless of what he's saying on the podium. When you're actually reading through what's being done, is not anything that's going to be beneficial for black people now or in the future. And some of these things are going to come to pass and going to start to take shape. And they would start to take shape under a Joe Biden presidency if he were to win. And in that situation, now we're faced with a situation where I'm wondering how many people are going to start blaming Joe Biden for policies enacted while Trump was in office. So I do think Joe Biden and a Joe Biden Kamala Harris presidency is a more beneficial presidency for the black community than another 4 years of Trump. I don't think this is a surprise. I don't think Joe Biden had a choice. He had to pick Kamala Harris. And I don't think, honestly, out of the two of them, I think Joe Biden is more friendly to the black community than Kamala Harris is. This is just what it is. But those are my thoughts. Let me know your thoughts. Not only on the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris thing, but also on what do you think about these changes to the over-the-counter drugs system and what's going on there? What do you think about all of that stuff? And let me know what you think about the series as well. I'm interested to know. I know the series, this is going to be part 15 of the series. And once you lump all this together, I think I've got well over 3 hours of me talking about this legislation and going through this legislation. I didn't think it would be this comprehensive when I started it, but you know, I'm kind of weird. I like, once I start getting into stuff, I like to get all the way into it. And so even now I'm finding myself trying to back off a little bit for the sake of just continuing along and still finding myself getting a lot deeper than I wanted to get. But that being said, that is this show. I know you guys have noticed of late that I have not been doing removing the stammers, the stutters and things that I've been doing. That's not me being lazy. That is me trying to be a little bit different. And I only mention it because people have mentioned that, you know, the last maybe 5 or 6 shows or more, there's been a lot more stammering, stuttering ums and ahs in there. And that's because I'm not going through and cleaning them out anymore. I don't want the show to sound polished. Too polished, overly polished, and unauthentic. The way I talk is the way I talk. And I'm also there. We have a lot of podcasts that we're grooming. I want them to feel comfortable being who they are and what they are as well. So I'm deciding to leave in a lot of the warts, a lot of the bumps, a lot of the things of that nature so that, you know, they do see how it is. Even this show is going to be one straight take. There aren't going to be any cuts, any slices, any re-punch-ins or nothing like that. This is just one straight take of me talking for now going on 24 minutes. So that's what that is. For those of you that have made comments about it or that have sent me messages about it, that's what's going on with that. So deal with it. Hey, if you don't want to listen to the show because I'm human, then I don't want you listening to the show. That being said, I will see you guys next week on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.
This is Lessons from the screen. John Boy.
So thank you guys for listening to the show, to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you always enjoy it. Remember, you can check out all of the shows. All of them are going to be only found on the Freedom Train Network. That's www.freedomtrainradio.com. And that goes again for all of the shows on the network. You can only find all of the shows available for all of the shows on the network on Freedom Train website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. So go there and check them out. You only get the latest 25 shows, I believe, on the podcast directories. So check us out. Show support for all of the shows we have: Shelby's World, Enigma Self Hour, The Fix, Sports Podcast, Freedom Train Podcast Series, and all of the other shows that are around. Definitely go and show them love. As for this show in particular, you can check us out. Support us on Patreon.com. That's patreon.com/LFTS. That's patreon.com/LFTS. And there you can drop us. You can show support by sponsoring the show, giving us money every month, giving us money per episode, and just letting us know that you support us. And by doing such things, you allow us to be able to spend more time creating and composing the shows. Shows like this series and shows like a lot of the series that we do take a lot of time to put together. We're talking about hours upon hours upon hours of research. And it'd be nice to be able to take the time to do those shows and do them correctly the way we really want to do them. And also to be able to do them more frequently, because a lot of these shows should probably be done a lot more frequently. So, love you. See you next week. Hope you have fun.